Hey everyone, welcome to the Real Evidence Podcast, a new podcast where we talk about the digital evidence landscape and how people, processes, and technology unite towards restorative justice. My name is Myron.
And I'm Ashley, and today we're with Colleen Brazel, who is the Senior Director of Children's Services at Project Harmony. Thanks for joining us today, Colleen.
Great, thanks for having me.
So today we want to just talk to Colleen about a little bit of about what you do at Project Harmony, talk through some discussions on what your input has been at the center over the years and how you came to where you're at now. So why don't we start with a little bit of conversation about Project Harmony. Tell us about the origin there and what you do there.
So Project Harmony is a child advocacy center located in Omaha, Nebraska. We've been in existence since 1996, and we serve two counties in Nebraska and 16 counties in southwest Iowa. Project Harmony is a fairly large urban child advocacy center, and we have forensic interview services, medical advocacy intake. We also have a training department, some prevention programming, and mental health within our CAC.
Can you expand a little bit, Colleen, on your role with Project Harmony and maybe even how you, what was your start with Project Harmony? How long have you been there and what are some of the things that you've done over the years?
Sure. So I am a forensic interviewer by trade. I started in the CAC world actually back in 1998 at a child advocacy center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Child's Voice. And so I was a forensic interviewer there for almost 17 years and then relocated with my husband to the Omaha area and reached out to Jean Klein, our executive director, about working for Project Harmony. So I've been with Project Harmony since 2015. Started out as providing mental health therapy and forensic interviewing, moved then to the forensic interview program manager, and then I have been in charge of children's services, which is our forensic interview medical advocacy services, since 2019. So I'm very in touch with the forensic interview field. I continue to conduct forensic interviews and use Guardify.
Awesome. And then do you do training as well? Because I think I saw that somewhere, like you've done a number of trainings as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So over the years, I've done trainings for child protective services, law enforcement, training, mentoring other forensic interviewers, done training on a local, regional, and national level. So I've done some of the national child abuse trainings. And I think training is just a really important piece for child advocacy centers, and I really enjoy the training aspect of the field.
With your the work that you've done at Project Harmony in the last almost 10 years or so, I know that you've had a really big role in moving away from the need of DVDs with your MDT. There's been a lot of talk about how Guardify is used across your counties that you work with and with the teams that you work with. Where do you think that started? Or tell us a little bit about the origin of wanting to move away from that kind of technology.
So probably early on in my time here at Project Harmony, we were still providing DVDs to our investigative partners, as well as county attorneys and the court system. And the problem with just giving a DVD out to those entities is that there's no ability to really control if they're being copied, who they're being shared with, who's viewing them. And so we were looking for an ability to have a little bit more control and oversight over what was happening with those forensic interviews once they were completed, just to protect victims and their families. We had a court case where a defense attorney actually shared the child's forensic interview with the defendant's family without the victim knowing about that. And there was then testimony in court about things that they viewed with the forensic interview when they shouldn't have had access to it. And so initially, Project Harmony, we attempted to put together an online viewing system similar to Guardify and had a mixed success, I would say. I think it was a really good start to say, yes, this is definitely what we need, but it wasn't functioning and operating the way that we had hoped. And so we had an opportunity to partner with Guardify. And I think we were one of the first centers that onboarded with Guardify. And it has just been just game changing for us as a child advocacy center. So we have the ability to not have DVDs floating around on somebody's desk or being provided to someone that we've asked it not to be provided to or that doesn't have access through that court order. And just the ability also as a child advocacy center, as I said, we have two counties in Nebraska, which are fairly within the Omaha area. So it's easy for our investigative partners to be here, to be able to get those DVDs or those interviews. But in Southwest Iowa, it's a much more rural area. And so sometimes those investigators can't make the appointment for the forensic interview because they're 2 or 3 hours from here. And so having to wait for a DVD of the forensic interview to be mailed to them was not ideal for them as well. So with Guardify, they can have that forensic interview within an hour or two of the interview happening, and they can move forward with their investigations. So what we've heard from some of those partners is just how helpful that has been for them in enabling them to move their investigation forward in a more quick manner.
That's really interesting. I'm really curious. So like you said, getting people on board, I think, you know, it's interesting when you actually experience it, it can be like really highly valuable, but there's also a lot of challenges. So can you talk to us about maybe some of the challenges that you guys had early on, or maybe some of those that are still there today, of getting partners on board, and then maybe how you guys are thinking about overcoming or have overcome some of those challenges?
Sure. So initially, because we had the other system that we were trying to work with, and there were some issues or problems with that. So just the first piece was, having partners understand what Guardify is and how it works. A lot of us don't like change a lot. And so, you know, we heard a lot of, if it's not broke, what do we need to fix it? And so, because it's hard to initially have them understand how convenient and easy to use Guardify is. And so it really, I think sometimes word of mouth helped us. So as we had investigative partners that were a little bit more adventurous as far as technology and felt more comfortable with technology, they would be able to jump on and try it and use it, see how well it worked. And then they helped us with others, helping, just encouraging how well it's worked for them. And I think that helped us quite a bit. And so that initial jump into Guardify was a little bit of a challenge just until people started using it. Once they started using it and seeing how well it worked for them, then we did actually have some counties that were saying to us with our investigative partners, I don't want a DVD anymore. Can't we do everything in Guardify? And we were at that time still providing DVDs. So we were like, well, can we? And so what we did was, I don't know why we can't. And so we went ahead and moved that direction. And I think what we found is that doing it in shifts really helped, instead of just saying we're going to move everyone all at once, was a very big undertaking. So we started with some of our smaller counties, and especially some of those that felt more comfortable. The next hurdle we had was helping our county attorneys to see how convenient the access was and how much they appreciated using that. Now, for some of our county attorneys, they also have judges who have, you know, and their judges are either a bit more technology savvy or not, and that made a difference. They had some judges that said, yes, they are totally okay with Guardify, and some that said, I want a DVD. And so we also, I think that ability to share evidence was something that we had to cross as well. So we ended up doing some planning meetings, and I leaned heavily on Guardify and their staff to help us create a workflow so that people could see it is easy to use. You can use it. This is the process. And then we also did some planning meetings where we had Guardify staff actually do some demonstrations within those meetings. And I think that is very helpful for people, because otherwise it's kind of this concept out there that's hard to visualize, but actually seeing it, it's click, 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 and you have it, just made a huge difference for us. Now, some of our smaller investigative agencies, county attorney's offices, also sometimes have a little less bureaucracy to work through. And so we did find that with some of our larger partners. And so it's a lot of talking and a lot of helping them understand, and then also helping them work through their bureaucracy. And so it was a process. We started some conversations in April of last year, and we fully moved over January 1st of 24. So we had moved a couple of our smaller counties within that year, but our largest county and largest law enforcement agency and county attorney's office, January 1st, we moved all of them over. And so the juvenile side of our county attorney's offices moved quicker than the criminal side. And I think that has to do with whether you're playing those forensic interviews in court and things like that. That move January 1st was the last nudge that I think we had to do as a child advocacy center, just to say, we believe this is the best approach. I believe that we have provided all of the technical assistance. Everyone has what they need, and we're all just going to take the step over the threshold at that point. And it's worked very well. The feedback we've gotten from our county attorneys, we've had several that maybe found a couple of hurdles or a couple of glitches as they were moving forward. And again, Guardify was so helpful to hop on. It was always, can we hop on a call with them? Can we walk them through that? And for me, that's been just incredibly valuable, because while I get Guardify, I'm not a tech person. And so that's just been so nice for me to say, let me connect you with Guardify and they'll walk you through it. And so that has worked well for us.
I think that your preparation for that rollout was a big part of that too. I think the procedures you put in place and documenting the way that you wanted those workflows to go out before you even addressed it with your users made that move very seamless. People had something to look at and address and go, oh, this is our step-by-step procedure. I feel confident using this new tool now. So that, combined with the assistance that you got with that training, probably made that rollout very smooth. So I think it was a really great collaboration.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think you want to go into those meetings saying, this is the step-by-step of what it's going to look like. And as a child advocacy center, we are the ones that are creating the discovery lead. We are the ones that are adding the users and sharing the interviews. So we really have to have a good process on our end to start. And so backing it up even a step there, I'm glad you brought it up, Ashley, because we had to sit down with our team here and say, here's what we're thinking. How should this workflow look? Who's going to be responsible? Who's going to look at those orders? Who's going to share those interviews from the time of the forensic interview with the investigators? And then if we have an order for other attorneys, whether it's the defense attorney, parents, attorneys, guardian ad litems, who's going to be responsible to review those orders and share those? And so I think for us, it was really helpful to set that process in place, because it really helped make that more concrete for us. And then I think it helped our partners to see, yes, they have a really good handle on how we're going to walk through this together.
Well, and it's been instrumental with a lot of our customers, that your preparation and input on that discovery lead tool specifically created a feature that didn't even exist before those conversations started happening. And the adoption of that feature across the ACs, other than just Project Harmony, has been pretty significant. So it's been a really cool way to see how the feedback coming from you all in the field and how you want to use the product can happen so quickly. So I really enjoyed that process with you guys too.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we found was that, you know, initially we're thinking we need to give discovery lead to the actual attorney working the case. But especially for larger offices, they have trial assistants. And so does the discovery lead need to go to the attorney or to the trial assistant? And so that was us rethinking and sort of learning some of their processes as well, so that we were making it as seamless and easy for them as we could.
For those listeners who may not be familiar with Guardify or with the discovery lead feature itself, Ashley, can you just do a quick overview of what that is now?
Yeah. So in Guardify, there's this concept of custodianship, the person that's responsible for sharing an interview out with other people who need access to it. But with the discovery lead feature, it allows the CACs to extend lead access on an interview while still maintaining the ownership of that interview at the CAC. So it allows prosecution or investigators to delegate access to interviews to other people in their office or to other people that are working on that case, so that it's coming directly from the investigator and not from the Child Advocacy Center.
I say one of the things we saw with that, part of the reason we were hoping for discovery lead is that because we are an urban child advocacy center and have a lot of court cases, that myself and our forensic interview program manager, sometimes we're getting 10 to 12 court orders a week to share with two or three different attorneys. And so that time factor of making sure the order was appropriate, finding the videos, sharing those, and there's then a delay for those attorneys to get access to those when the attorney knows who it should go to. That's the county attorney or prosecuting attorney. And for them to just be able to share with as part of their discovery process themselves just makes so much more sense for us to share it with them. And then they have the ability to provide that discovery as appropriate per their court procedures.
Colleen, I'm curious, you know, when we talk about like the benefits of what software can help do in situations like this, where there's sort of a people component, there's some process stuff that gets figured out, and then there's the technology itself. What are some of the benefits that surprised you? Maybe just holistically thinking through like the collaboration model with your MDT or, you know, in areas maybe where you weren't expecting there to be benefits, but just being able to streamline some things, produce benefits that were surprising.
Well, I think we always kind of go back to COVID for a bit with some of the innovations we've had to make. So, you know, I think prior to COVID, it was always the investigative partners have to be here at the CAC. And I think what we found with that is that we could provide forensic interviews. They could participate in interviews through Zoom, through Guardify Live, and helps them be more streamlined in their work, and it helps them to be more present for the forensic interview because they're not thinking, I'm taking a whole day out of my whole 4 hours out of my work day to be able to go to watch this one forensic interview. They can hop on in their office, be fully present, and still be here. So I think that technology to be able to share the interview, watch it live through Guardify Live and Zoom was super helpful for us, and just a different way of thinking about doing business as a child advocacy center, especially in a rural area. And then along with that, that ability, like I referenced a little bit earlier, that they are able to actually have the video, because a lot of our partners, while they're watching the interview, they're taking notes, and but you don't see everything when you're watching it live. And so they often want to rewatch it for their documentation, for additional information or things they're looking for. So to have that within an hour or two, I think is really powerful for them for their investigations. And so I think that has been so helpful for our investigators to not have to wait for something to be mailed to them or have to stop even coming across town when they have time to get a DVD. And then they have ability to watch it as they need to. I think for them to be able to timestamp or mark things that they want to be able to come back to and look at when they're doing documentation, I think that feature is a really positive feature as well.
One of the things I'm trying to put together in my head is just like the timeline of the journey. So you talked about the situation where evidence was a DVD was shared with somebody it shouldn't have been. When did that happen?
That was before I came to Project Harmony. So it would have been sometime prior to 2015. But I can speak to even my time in Sioux Falls that there were always concerns since I started doing forensic interviews about where are these discs going? How do we control whether there's copies made? What happens with this? How do we protect a child's their privacy around these really sensitive topics? And so I think in the field, it's been something that for the whole time I've been in the field, we've seen as a concern. So it's not new. And I could imagine that pretty much anyone in the CAC world would have an example or an ability to say, yes, we had this experience around just being providing DVDs and having no control over them.
Yeah, it comes up a lot in onboarding discussions. So I work very frequently with our new customers. And when we are talking about the concept of taking place of their current workflow, one of the biggest sticking points is we don't want to give out DVDs anymore. We're worried about where these go. We've had too many instances of this evidence getting lost, getting these stories getting misplaced or given to people who shouldn't have them. It's a really common story with our customers. So it's interesting to hear how this started from that point.
So it sounds like the journey has been progressively getting more people on board and with throughout the MDT and the collaboration model continuing to evolve. What challenges sort of remain? Like, what's the next big milestone in your opinion, whether it's the adoption of the technology or just the collaboration model? And then like, what's left to conquer there, so to speak?
You know, I think around the collaboration model, we have counties sometimes that we don't work with as often. And so we actually have a call set up next week with a county that we don't work with quite as often that, what is this Guardify stuff? And I don't know why that I understand it. And I think my recommendation would be just setting up a call, a Zoom, going out and meeting with them, because it's just so much easier to show them and to be able to walk through that workflow. I think that helps just build that relationship and get you through that much quicker. So we're actually doing one of those conversations next week with a county that doesn't have as many of our cases. And so I think that will be really helpful for that county attorney just to have a better understanding of what the processes and what everything is with our discovery lead and how we share interviews. So continuing to just keep building those relationships with your investigative partners. And just like everything else we do in the CAC world, it's all about collaboration and how do we help them? How do they help us? It's such a team effort in everything we do that I think Guardify just gets rolled into, you know, we're looking at this because it benefits all of us and it helps protect the child. And that's at the end of the day is what all of us want to do all the time. So I think that message is just really powerful for our investigative partners to hear. Future direction, if you want me to go there. So I have a huge interest just in forensic interviewer development. And so I'm actually part of a work group with forensic interviewers across the country that have been doing this a long time that are really looking at how do we develop forensic interviewers. So I think on the front end, the field does a really good job of training initially forensic interviewers. But where I think we see ability for growth and to be able to move forward is how do we further that development from a new forensic interview that does the protocol well, that does, you know, most forensic interviews well, to a more seasoned or experienced interviewer. And I think a bit of an aha moment we had as a group was back in the day when we were doing forensic interviews, we had to write a report that most child advocacy centers no longer do, but that writing the report forced us as interviewers to go back and review our own interviews on a much more regular basis than a peer review. And so what we think is a really helpful thing is for interviewers to do peer review. That's a great thing. And I think the field has that well established. What's not as established is this concept of regularly reviewing your own interviews and looking at certain aspects, certain things. I think that, you know, this section I did a good job with, or I was concerned about how I introduced this area or how I addressed what the child said here. I made a decision right here and I don't know what I think about that. So really trying to move the field forward to this is how you continue to grow and develop as an interviewer, and self-review is a piece of that. And what I think it could be really exciting with Guardify is the ability to do transcripts within Guardify so that you could, I say you wanted to look at, I think I kept my questions pretty open-ended, but I don't know. Or I stayed open-ended here, but then when the child went there, I feel like I got too focused. To be able to just go in and pull a transcript will give you, here's the questions and here's exactly how that conversation went. Instead of manually kind of going through and marking and tracking your questions, it will speed that process in self-review up to be able to do that. To be able to mark or tag certain things within your own forensic interview. So then when you go to clinical supervision with your supervisor, you're able to say, hey, I tagged something here in the interview and look at that. And this is what I was thinking. This is why the child said this and I went this way and that's why. I think that's just going to be hugely beneficial for clinical supervisors in the field of forensic interviewing. The ability for us to share, especially in some of our rural areas, so to have clinical consultation groups where maybe you have an interviewer that's at a rural CAC that doesn't have a clinical supervisor per se that can review their interviews with them. You know, setting up groups like consultation groups where you could share the forensic interview with the other members of that group or that supervisor and then hop on a call together and walk through that. I think the use of that for Guardify would be really helpful for both individual but also group supervision. So that's something I think for us as a team, we're going to start moving forward with Guardify. And I could see other CACs seeing a real value in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see the use of the peer review process just growing through, like, using Guardify for peer review and adding those additional ways to use it with, like, self-review or self-assessment, really, to share with those groups that are also doing those clinical exams.
So one thing I'm curious about with that, though, Colleen, too, is the idea with the self-reflection that, like, is the thought that it's more helpful for somebody to come to a conclusion themselves after assessing themselves?
Yeah.
Like, would that replace somebody else also giving you feedback, or is this like a complement to that as well? What would be the approach to, like, implementing that?
Well, clinical supervision is all about process. And so it's really a joint a discussion about process, but as forensic interviewers and anyone that's learning and growing in their profession, their ability to review their own work and think critically about that and talk about that process is really helpful. So the self-review allows them to really look at what was I thinking? What did I hear? Why did I take this route? Because there's no necessarily right or wrong decision that we're making in a forensic interview. Two interviewers might interview the same child at different times and go in different directions based on what a child says. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there are sometimes a path that might be more productive with that child. And so one of the things we really want to help grow for forensic interviewers is that critical thinking within the interview. So what are those decisions they're making? And so self-review helps them look at their decision-making process within the interview, how they were handling things emotionally, how they were reading the child, as well as the things we all know about, were they keeping their questions open-ended? Were they gathering enough information? You know, those are the things that are basic forensic interview skills they're learning and we're going to continue upon, but the decision-making is a bit more of an advanced skill and the self-reviews help with that.
I think that's going to be really powerful. It's exciting. I'm excited to kind of partner with you on that as well and see how we can make that happen. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. Colleen, this has been great. thank you so much for taking the time to just chat with us and to share some of your wisdom and experience with us. One of the things we like to do before we kind of wrap up is to let our guests have a little bit of a wording of encouragement or a positive thing to say to any of the listeners that might be listening to this podcast. Do you have anything that you'd like to share there?
Well, actually, I have a quote that is I have taped to my computer monitor, so I'm gonna have to look over at it because so I say it right. But I think what it says is, don't be afraid to take an unfamiliar path. Sometimes they're the ones that take you to the best places. And I think that is really about the journey that we all take in the CAC process for forensic interviewers. You never know what you're going to get within a forensic interview. But I think also for us about as a child advocacy center to say, we really think moving to Guardify is the way we should be moving forward in the future. And we didn't necessarily totally know what where it was going to take us. But I think we found that it is been a really, really good place for us. And I think with the development things I talked about, again, that's a bit of an unfamiliar path, but I think it's going to just bring valuable things to our profession.
Colleen, again, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate the partnership with you and with Project Harmony over the years, and we look forward to just continuing to do that. For anyone listening, if this is the type of content that you enjoy, if you made it this far in the episode, please consider subscribing. You can find this podcast on all of the platforms that you find your normal podcast, as well as YouTube. You can also check us out at www.guardify.com/podcast. And if you're interested in Guardify as a solution or just connecting with us, you can feel free to reach us out by email at sales@guardify.com. Colleen, again, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Well, thanks so much for the conversation. It's been fun to talk about what we've been able to accomplish together.